Hear the words of the Apostle Paul recorded in the 7th chapter of his letter to the Romans. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Apostle Paul, the great teacher of the doctrine of justification by faith alone, a hero of faith, the subject of one of the most stupendous conversions in the history of the Christian Church, speaks about his weakness. The good that I want to do, I do not do. But the evil that I don't want to do, that I keep on doing. And another time, he says some equally remarkable words. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. It summed up what Paul is talking about in some words that some of you have come to know in some religion classes: simul justus et peccator. At the same time, saint and sinner. In fact, no words capture so clearly the nature of the life of the Christian in this world. Besides Paul, we have some very clear pictures of that in the Bible, don't we? David, king of Israel 2,000 years ago, the ancestor of Jesus, knew the difference between right and wrong. Yet one day he spied a beautiful woman sunbathing on a lower roof, lusted for her, committed adultery with her, and engineered the death of her husband so that he could have her. David, a good man, about the best king Israel ever had, a real man of faith, and yet he brought shame on his kingdom and on his rule and on his faith and on his Lord. How about Peter, one of Jesus' three closest friends, who protested for all to hear that he would never deny his Lord, and he made such an oath before Jesus and his brethren, and yet a few hours later says publicly that he doesn't even know who Jesus is. We all know the feeling. We protest loudly at the evil behavior of other people who do unspeakable things, and yet what we do in the dark, behind closed doors, and in the privacy of our own hearts is exactly what we said we would never do. Damned to hell? On the face of it, you bet. That's exactly how it stands. O wretched man, who will deliver me from this body of death, he says. O you horrible hypocrite, I must say to myself. How could God, if there is one, have any regard at all for me? So you believe that God will forgive your sins, that he will give you the strength to resist temptation, and you try to do the right thing day after day after day. But do you try any harder than David did, or any harder than Peter, or any harder than Paul? Well, that's the reality of it, isn't it? I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. Paul's words. And here's the principle, the way that it is. I want to do what is right, but it just always simply comes out bad. And so it's enough to drive a person to total, complete despair. It did St. Paul, O wretched man that I am. I don't have the strength to rise up above that kind of despair, but our God can, and he has. And so he comes and he calls me a saint, a righteous, holy saint before him. Now, I can call a pig's ear a silk purse, but that doesn't really change anything. It's still a pig's ear. I can call evil good, and I can call good evil, but that doesn't change anything. But the God who said, "Let there be light," and there was light, the God who said, who can call out to the dead Lazarus, whose dead body has already begun to stink, who can at the last day to say to all the dead who have been dead for thousands of years, "You dead, come forth," and we do, that God calls me, he calls you, holy, righteous, and pure. And he does better than make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. He declares me to be righteous. He calls the denier Peter to be a holy saint and his apostle. He calls Paul, the guy who killed Christians thinking he was doing God a service, to be an apostle of the very Christ whose followers he had persecuted. He declares David, the adulterous murderer, to be a holy saint, the root of the Messiah, the Savior from sin. Can he do that for you and for me as well? He does. He does it through the sacrifice of his Son, the one who steps into my place and becomes the focus of all God's anger over my sin, who in my place lives a life that is so righteous that it is acceptable to God, and he does it for all. He does it through his resurrection from death, the victor over sin, the victor and the substitute. He is my righteousness. For what he is, God says, I am the same. So I stand before God, as I am, doomed and in despair. He makes me his child through baptism, through faith. In daily sin, day by day, I come before my Lord in true repentance, a repentance which he himself must work, And in faith I bow before the God who has declared me to be a righteous, perfect, holy saint. As he says to me, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Believe that he has done this for you. Amen.